Once you answer a question, it determines what you feed on. We always win. We have already won. We are appropriating our victory. And that's what I'm asking. Who are you? Are you a survivor or a sinner? We have entered the age of the governing church. A church that feeds on the diet of saviors. Our native weapon is prayer. Add that with fasting. When your coast is too small, the scriptural accredited response is a fight. City takers are warriors.
Questions are answered. We are refreshed, renewed, rejuvenated at your word and by the ministry of the Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let no one return the same way that came. Thank you for a now word for everyone in this service, on ground, online, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for that one word from God that will change someone's life forever. Father, we thank you. We are truly hungry for you, Lord. We are truly expectant, Lord. Like a handmaid looketh to her master, our eyes are upon you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, thank you for breaking people out of tight places this morning. And thank you for breaking your people into a large place. We give you praise. We shout Rehoboth, Rehoboth, Rehoboth. Thank you because you have made room for us. And therefore we are fruitful. In the name of the Lord Jesus. For that family, you have made room for them. For that young man, you have made room for him. For that young lady, you have made room for her. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for enlargement. Thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name. And somebody shout amen. Come on, give the Lord the loudest shout of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. You can. I can't hear you this morning. Give the Lord the loudest shout of glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. How are you all doing? How's City Takers Conference been? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm still under the anointing. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. All right, welcome your neighbors on your left, to your right. Tell them you are taking your place. Glory to God. You are possessing your inheritance. And then have your seat. God bless you. Hallelujah. It's first service. And it's good to be here. Amen. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. All right, we'll get into God's word very quickly. And then we'll go into second service. Hallelujah. Glory to God. City Takers Conference. We are city takers, amen. We are warriors, amen. And yesterday we heard that we are what? I can't hear you. We are what? We are weapons. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He says, thou art my battle axe. Jeremiah chapter 51 verse 20. He says, thou, you are my battle axe. That's God talking. He says, you are my battle axe and my weapon of war. With you, I will break in pieces the nations. Hallelujah. And with you, I will destroy kingdoms. Of course, he's talking about the powers of hell, the kingdom of darkness, and the structures that oppose Christ on the earth. But the point is, we are God's strategy. We are God's weapons. We are his warriors on the earth. Hallelujah. And then we said that for us, because Jesus has obtained the victory in his death, burial, and resurrection, for us it is called the fight of faith. Amen. Paul, talking in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, he says, fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Imagine reading the Bible and God is telling you to fight. You know, on 2 or 3 days ago, we began by reading Joshua chapter 19, verse 47, right? Where he says, the coast of the children of Dan became too little for them. Therefore, they went out to fight Leshem. How many of you remember that? But when you read that,
And you are just trying to extrapolate it directly. You know, somebody may argue that that's New Testament. And then, I mean, Old Testament. Then we get into New Testament. Paul, the apostle of grace, was writing. It's a fight. Fight. And he helped us by qualifying the fight. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Unto which you are called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hallelujah. And we ended yesterday by saying, if you have not understood the gist, okay, around City Takers Conference, the gist is very simple. The first layer of the gist is this. You are more than what you think. You are more than the description of the world. You are more than the description of your past, your mistakes. You are more than the description of your background. Amen. In fact, you are more than the description of religious Christianity. Escapism. You know, for a lot of Christians, we are here on the earth just to wait and escape to heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You are more than survival. In God's mind, you are a city taker. In God's mind, you are to possess territories, sectors, places for him. Glory to God. You are to carry his light and his life and bring it upon the systems of the world. That's what is on God's mind. What was the prayer of Jesus? All right, when he was teaching the disciples to pray, he says, when you pray, see our Father. When he was given the pattern of prayer, he says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth. So we said God's intent is that the lordship of Jesus is established first where? In the hearts of men, and then across the different spheres of human endeavors. Glory to God. That means in politics, is Jesus established as Lord? Amen. In finance, is Jesus established as Lord? In sport and entertainment, is he established as Lord? Hallelujah. Glory to God. If Jesus is established as Lord, they won't sing love songs with naked women. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I mean, that's practical. Are we together? And you see, to stay in church and say, well, Jesus is coming very soon. We are not interested. He's not interested in all those things. Is to deceive yourself and not pay attention to what God says. And this is why traditional Christianity, and pardon me for using that expression, has limited the concept of the call to just what someone like me do. Okay? When you say you are called, that means you are going to stand before people like this and preach the Bible. But that is not what, that doesn't capture the totality of what is on God's mind. When you read the Bible very clearly, you will see that in the New Testament, kingship and priesthood have married. Glory to God. He says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation, call forth to show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness, right, into his marvelous light. That means upon every Christian is the anointing of a priest and the anointing of a king. And we saw the first pattern in Genesis chapter 14. The first man who appeared, or the first personality who appeared, who combined the two offices. And it was a reflection of God's intent for the New Testament. Glory to God. That means we are both priests and kings. I say that again. We are both what? Priests and kings. Well, some may have one expression more than others. Like those on pulpit ministry will have more priestly expression than the kingly expression. And those in the marketplace will have more kingly expression than priestly expression. But the bottom line is every Christian has a ministry. Glory to God. Every Christian sits in that office. Glory to God. Every Christian, on every Christian is the call of God. And if you are going to fulfill that call, you must understand what is on God's mind. Call unto what? Call to establish his kingdom in the hearts of men. Call to establish his kingdom across the different spheres of human endeavor. Glory to God. Is that clear enough? So our life on earth is beyond having nice income every week or every month, whatever the case may be. Having a nice house, a nice family, attend church on Sunday morning, and you are just pious, amen, and then waiting to be raptured. Christianity is more than that. The end time church is a city taking church. Can I get an amen? The end time church will no longer be that church that will be relegated to the background, that will be relegated to the periphery. He says the church is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. You remember that? In Ephesians 1, we read it a month ago. Glory to God. So that's the picture of the church that God has. We have said this here again and again that Jesus is coming for a fully activated church. What do you mean a fully activated church? A church that has awakened to her calling as an army of city takers. Among us, cities is both figurative and literal. Figuratively, a city is your place. Glory to God. A city is your portion. Every Christian has a place that has been called and ordained to function. Hallelujah. And you see, your genus is revealed in your place. Are we together? There are those who can preach like this. I mean, they are wondering, how does pastor do this? And I'm also wondering, how do you do what you do? Glory to God. Are we together? So what you do is a platform that we leverage to establish the lordship of Jesus. First, in the hearts of men. Then secondly, across the different spheres of human endeavor. But you see, this army of city takers must be raised, and that's why we're here. This army of city takers must go through orientation. Glory to God. Training. And you see, the essence of training is not really to give you what you don't have. If you understand anything about the rudiment of education, education really is drawing out. That's the meaning of education. That means there's something in you that the preacher is drawing out. Oh, are we together? There's something in you that I'm activating. Are we together? There's something in you that I'm pulling out. It's already there. It's your configuration. Sometimes when we do impartation, it's like jump-starting a car battery. Your battery is there. Maybe there was a system with the alternator. It wasn't charging as it should. So I bring my battery and jump-start. I put your battery back and then it starts charging. Are you here? But it's there. Glory to God, it's there. Hallelujah. And this is the church that Jesus is coming for. This is the church that will usher in the king. A takeover church, as we call it. The church that is an army of city takers. Where brethren are not in the marketplace looking for food. No. You are there to represent an interest. Everybody has an agenda. Are you aware of that? Everybody's bias. What's important is, where is your bias towards? Everybody has been brainwashed. I've always told you, everybody must be brainwashed. Just choose your soap and water carefully. Glory to God. All this thing they say, yeah, this is about brainwash me. Religion has not brainwashed me. Christian, you have been brainwashed. Even your current utterance shows you've been brainwashed, because what you are saying, you heard it from somewhere. Glory to God. So the concept of objectivity is a fallacy. It's a fallacy. The Bible talks about being washed by the washing of water by the word. My brain has been washed over the years. The water is what? The word. Everybody must be being washed. Just settle it. Just choose your soap and water. And for us, is the word of God. Can I get an amen? Are you blessed this morning? We have an agenda. We have ulterior motives. Amen. Everybody does on earth. If I dash you money, I have ulterior motive. I want Jesus established in your heart. He's a good one. We don't just throw things around. There's an agenda. That's my point this morning. You see, globally, the guys on the other side understand this. They do things with intent. When they man an office, they represent an agenda. But you have noticed, when the believer goes there, he represents his family. Can I get an amen? But that is not God's will. And why do we have that? Because they were not properly raised. They were not properly taught. They were not properly discipled. They were not told that what they are doing is a ministry. So when you become a permanent secretary, you know that God brought you there as a platform for ministry, to establish his lordship in the hearts of men and across the sphere of that sphere of human endeavor. That means you will use that office as a leverage to promote and propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You use it as a leverage to advance the agenda of heaven. I know poverty has beaten Africa so much, so that when money comes, people forget the main thing. Money is a tool. Money is a means to an end. Money is not an end in itself. I'm sure you're wondering, hey, Pastor, are you serious? Let me have this money first. That's the truth. Oh yes, that's the truth. You know, there's a time I had one money in seven figures in my account, and I laughed. I said, so what does it change about me? I said, what has changed? No, I said, look, what has changed? I'm still me. I'm serious. And what is this money going to be used for? Am I going to eat it? No. I will exchange it for what is valuable to me, for what is consistent with my value system. So money is a tool. Glory to God. Influence is a tool. Position is a tool. Intellect is a tool. Time is a tool. A tool unto what? A tool unto representing an agenda. This is the thinking of a city taker. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when you think that way, your vision to be big, and by the way, if you don't have a vision to be big yet, you don't see what God is seeing. You are not seeing what he's saying. I've said this here before. The world of a mediocre is small. And the concept of me, myself, and I, and my family is selfish and wicked. Am I saying don't take care of your family? You should. That's your primary assignment. But God's intent is more than that. Your life has to be about something, and that's finding your place. Your life has to be about something, and that is leveraging on your place to advance an agenda bigger than you. Life is beautiful when your life is about something that is bigger than you. Oh, try it. The world of a selfish man is small. Very small. And guess what? God is excited when his children dream big. Dreams that include others. So the question you ask yourself right now is, what are you working on that is beyond you and your family? What is that project you are working on? What is on your mind? What is on your table that is big enough to include others? What are you doing currently that is big enough that includes the kingdom of God? The winning of souls, the discipling of souls. Are we together? The propagation of the message of Jesus. The propagation of the name of Christ. What is on your table currently that touches that thing? That's how you can measure yourself. That's how you know what really is in your heart. I want to look at it and say, it's not really, there's really nothing serious. So you adjust. And that's what repentance means. Glory to God. You change your mind. But there are some who can remember the last time they prayed for others. The last time they prayed for church. The last time they prayed for pastor. Someone say, pastor is a man of prayer. He prays for himself. Me, I'm sitting. No, it doesn't work like that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We are city takers. All right, so that's the first part of the gist. That your life must amount to something really big for the sake of the gospel. In summary, that's the first part of the gist. I would say the second part of the gist is simple. To do those big things, to hit sectors, systems, industries, literal cities, to take them over, to rise in influence, to do well, which is God's intent for his glory, you must understand warfare. That's the second part of the gist. You must understand warfare. So we said, a city taker is a warrior. A city taker knows how to put up a fight. A city taker understands the concept of the good fight of faith. Paul says, fight. A city taker knows that where you are dwelling, when where you are dwelling becomes too small for you, you don't complain, you go and fight. Where you don't understand what's happening around your marriage, you don't complain, you fight. Glory to God. You don't understand, you are not satisfied with your current income. What do? You fight. You are wondering what's happening around my health and my body these days. What do? You fight. You fight. And it's a fight of faith. Why is it a good fight of faith? Two reasons. Number one, it's a good fight because we already have the victory. It's a fight to maintain what you have obtained. It's a fight to take what is legally yours. That means you are not going into the fight with uncertainty. Victory is certain. He said, forever, O Lord, your word is ever settled where? In heaven. It's now your job to settle it on the earth. That's the fight. And God wants it settled on the earth. In that space, in that sphere, in that situation, in that life. That's a fight. That's a fight. And it's a good fight. Number two reason is a good fight. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Kalabrundo sushte paradika paya. Oh, hallelujah. I'm excited about this. Hi. You see, it's a good fight because it's not a fair fight. Like a rat fighting a lion. Is that fair? All the lion needs to do is to show up, true or false. That's it. So we show up. Oh, glory to God. We show up and use the judgment written. We show up. You know, prayer is akin. In fact, the word petition is actually a legal term. Amen. It's akin to appearing in court to argue your case. And in this case, the supreme judge of the universe is your father. He's saying, let us abide by the law. Just appear. Glory to God. You know Satan is wrong. I know Satan is wrong. Just appear. Because he's a just God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what dimension. The other dimension is the judgment has been passed and you are God's law enforcement agent. And what do? You enforce it. Hallelujah. Yesterday, Wendy was talking about three things that there's war over. The first one we said is there's a war over your destiny. Number two, we say there's a war over the souls of men. Number three, we say there's war over territories, over control of territories. Not really because Satan needs... Okay, let me add the fourth one now before I see what I want to say. There's war over your finances. Except you're not a Christian. If you are kingdom-minded, Satan is already fighting your finances. But he's fighting as a rebel. You know, this occurred to me some years ago and it really blessed me. That a lot of times in scriptures, when God was introducing himself around financial prosperity, he introduced himself as the Lord of hosts. Have you noticed that? As the Lord of war. The Lord of hosts means the God of the army, the commander of the army of heaven. Glory to God. You will see that in that Zechariah 1:17 that we read. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. True prosperity. True prosperity. He was talking around prosperity. He introduced himself as the Lord of hosts. That means there's a warfare dimension to your financial prosperity. Glory to God. That means you cannot be docile about it. Why would God introduce himself? Go to verse 16. Why would God introduce himself as the Lord of hosts? And then he's talking about prosperity. Because there's war around it. Thus saith the Lord God, I'll return to Jerusalem with mercies. Seeth the Lord of hosts, a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem, saith the Lord of hosts. And he says, cry yet, true prosperity shall my cities be spread abroad. Are you seeing that? Is it even there? He said, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Cry yet, glory to God, the Lord of hosts. And it's something I want you to pay attention to this year. You see, when we say prosperity, this is not maintenance money. You don't need to engage warfare. If what you are looking for is 500,000 every month, 1 million every month, and after that your mind is frozen. You are saying, what do I need? You know, somebody told me years ago, he said, what do you need all those monies for? A Christian. He said, what do you need all those monies for? He said, how much do you and your wife and your children need? He said, we don't need so much. See, you are a selfish man. But of course, out of respect, I just kept quiet and left them. Really, life is about your wife and children. You can see the thinking. This is an elder in his sphere. Glory to God. But you can see the thinking. When we're talking about prosperity, he's thinking we're talking about money for ourselves. And by the way, let me drop this. You see, you must understand the teaching about prosperity. Every time I teach prosperity, my context is wealth, number one, for the collective, and two, wealth to leverage for the harvest of nations. Never forget that. If you don't get that, you have not gotten our prosperity message. Did you hear what I said? So every time we talk about prosperity, it's not yourself. Don't see yourself. See what you can do with money to liberate the oppressed. The moment that gets into your thinking, God steps in. Oh, I say that again. The moment that gets and seeps into your thinking as a working reality, you begin to see the power of God in the area of finances. Because that is the order. In fact, the same thing with faith. The teaching of faith, if the only focus is to meet personal needs, then it's inadequate. Do you understand? It's inadequate. The context of the just shall live by his faith. In fact, the one in Habakkuk 2, the context of the just shall live by his faith is vision. You remember? His vision. He started by saying, I will stand upon my watch. I will get me to the tower to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. And God said, write the vision. Verse 2. Make it plain that I may run. That read this. What is a vision? A vision is a picture from God that includes others. A picture of what is on God's mind revealed to a man on the earth to execute and carry out God's purposes and will in his space for a particular time. That's a vision. And if God is involved, others are involved. Did you get that? So that's the context. And in verse 4, he says, now the just shall live by his faith. Faith is required for the fulfillment of vision. Yes. But you see the context. Vision. Praise God. Vision. The same thing with prosperity. No, the one we just read. What was God's focus of prosperity? Spreading his cities abroad. True prosperity. But you see, you cannot be a pipe through which water flows and be dry. Oh, can I get an amen? You cannot be. The moment you raise your vision about prosperity beyond just what you can enjoy, and you raise your vision towards sponsoring what you believe, you begin to see changes. You begin to see changes. That is our context for the prosperity message. That through prosperity, thus saith the Lord of hosts. He said, cry it, saith the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the army of heaven. Through prosperity shall my cities be spread abroad. So that's the kind of money I'm talking about. Do you understand? If it's money for maintenance, you don't need God. You need just to be smart. Amen. Except they are shaking a pot in your village. Amen. Once you are smart, you don't need so much for maintenance. But maintenance is small. You know, inside maintenance, you are still a slave. Someone will come to the city and buy everything plus your house. Amen. Somebody say, no, what if I build my own house? Somebody will become the leader of that place and say, all the lands are revoked. And you are helpless. But see, if you understand what I'm telling you, you have that ownership and possession mentality. You understand that you are the seed of Abraham. And God has made him the Lord of heaven and earth. You will always be relevant. Glory to God. And then your prosperity will be big. It will be mighty. Something that brings advantage to the kingdom of God. All right, so this is the kind of money we're talking about. And there's war about it. Oh yeah, there's war. Satan fights it. He knows the power of money in the hands of a kingdom-minded person. And what are you going to do? Fight. 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 In Haggai 2, it was the same thing. When he says, I will shake the nations. Amen. In Haggai 2, you can start from verse 6. Verse 7 says, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. I will fill this house with my glory, saith the Lord of what? Of hosts. When he says desire of nations, what do you think he's talking about? It's the wealth of nations. Can you see? Look at verse 8 and verse 9. It shows you very clearly. The silver is mine. The gold is mine. Who is talking? Who is talking? The Lord of the armies of heaven. The Lord of hosts. War against your prosperity. What are you going to do? Put on your warrior's regalia and fight. And fight. And fight. Learn to speak words of power against every enemy of your finances. Learn to speak words of power against every and any enemy of your prosperity. Declare it. Demons hinder money from coming to you. Especially when you have obeyed the basic laws. Have it together. Minus that, demons have the ability of covering eyes. So you can't see opportunities. Or things are just playing out in the way you didn't plan. Warfare. Another way to handle it is through your seed. Your sacrifice is a weapon. Oh, did you hear what I said? Your sacrifice is a weapon. This money, in fact, and it plays, there's a dual role to this. This prosperity for nations we're talking about, you can't get there until God sorts your heart out. And the major way God sorts your heart out is by testing in the area of giving. Are you aware of that? I told you that money is a tool. Let me add this. Money is also a test. That means a major way. Listen, it's impossible to have a fruitful walk with God if God does not test you in the area of giving. It's impossible. You don't have a walk with God. You're just pretending that's religion. God does not make demands on your finances. Doesn't give instructions as to give. You've not started a solid walk with God. I'm telling you, quote me anywhere. When you begin that walk, listen, money has power. Are you aware that the only thing in the New Testament that was compared with God was Mammon? Mammon, the god of money. How many of you remember that? He says, for you cannot serve God and Mammon. You are either a servant of one or the other. Is that powerful? You know what Jesus said? He said, for where a man's treasure is, there his heart will be also. Not the other way around. When a man's treasure is, that's where the heart is. When we want to track your heart, we track the flow of your treasure. Are you here? So to have a walk with God is impossible. God will test you in the area of finances. Your money in a measure is a measure of your life. And it's tied to your heart for many people. So that detachment, and you see, the jealousy of God will insist that nothing else is the Lord of your heart except Him. Have it together. And as He carries you through that journey, a major thing He must do is separating you from money. And a major way he separates you from money is training you in giving, in sacrificial giving, in instructed giving. Because you can cry and claim and weep in worship in church, and money is not detached from your heart. God can make demand on it. And God knows that will be a window for Satan to come in. Are you here? In case you didn't hear me, I say it again. If you have a walk with God, he must test you in the area of giving. I'm telling you that as a person who has obtained mercy, who has a walk with God. Ask anybody that has a walk with God, they'll tell you the same thing. And I've explained the mechanism to you. Why God has to do that. So that nothing else is the Lord of your heart. And in fact, as you grow, you don't wait for instruction. You know it's a pathway, so you act it out. Do you wait for God to tell you to turn on the switch in your room to have light? No. You know what to do if I press this light to come on. That means as you enlarge your heart for bigger things, by yourself, you are giving. And you see, there is an engineering behind giving in scriptures. There's a mechanism, a very clear mechanism beyond giving. That means it's a system that has predictable outcome. There's a system behind it. We'll get into that in February. There's a system behind it. Somebody said, no, it's not about 10%. It's about, I can decide to give 30%. It's no longer tight. Amen. Except you have another revelation behind it. You can actually give the whole 100% as tight. In faith that there's a harvest. Let's say I have a millionaire. The tithe is how much? 100,000. I can decide. But look, in faith, God, you spoke to me. I wanted 10 million. This is 1 million I kept. This tithe. And give the whole thing. And pay tithe in front. This is my tithe, 1 million. People are saying, because in the realm of the spirit, time is not a factor.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Do you understand? You go beyond the boundaries of time. That means when you did it, it happened. The angel saw it, that it happened. It happened. Oh, this guy paid a tithe of 1 million. That means he has 10 million. Glory to God. Oh, do you understand? He has 10 million. How many 10 million shows? I hope to get into that a little. Our tithing, the structure of our tithing in the New Testament is faith. And if that is true, what I say it holds. Glory to God. Are you blessed? So you war. You see your sacrificial giving as a war. As a war. It says, except the Lord of hosts has left us with a seed. Would have been like unto Sodom and Gomorrah. That means God's system for preservation is a seed. Oh, glory to God. It's a seed. Is a seed. Approach this year. This is a message for first service. Approach your finances with a warrior's eyes. Do you understand what I just said? The question is, when we're talking about how to have a great year, you know, one of the things we said was your goal for sponsoring the gospel. How many of you remember that? So what's your personal development goal? What's your goal? Those, the three goals you must have as a Christian every year. Number one is your personal development goals. You remember now? We say because with who you are, you can have. If you are not improving in your mind, you can't improve in your productivity. Have it together. We say work harder on yourself than on your job. Because the better version of you will produce better results. That's the first goal. Personal development. The second thing we said was, what's your goal as far as the ministry of the gospel is concerned? And I think it's something like that. What's your partnership, thank you. Your partnership in the gospel, what's your goal? For this year, for the next 5 years, I have a goal. What's your goal financially? What's your goal in intercession? What's your goal in soul winning? There's a definiteness. If you don't set goals, you can't score any. Amen. Imagine playing football without goalpost. Would there be a winner? There won't be. That's the power of goal setting. Are we together? So when there's a goal, you can say this year. There are people last year who, as they were entering the year, said they were going to give $1 million for the ministry. And some of them did. But he had to start as a goal. Amen. He had to start as a goal. Somebody almost sold his car to give before money now came. Amen. He had called the car dealer, sell this car. Glory to God. He starts as a goal. Clarity. Minus giving. What is your financial goal for the year? Now, when you put that goal before you, have a warrior's approach to accomplishing it. In the speakings of your mouth, in the speakings of your seed, have a warrior's approach. In fact, in the speakings of your work ethic, have a warrior's approach. Because you know why you want the 50 million, the 100 million. You know why you want the 10 million. You know why. You know it's a leverage. Am I talking to you? Am I in the wrong church? So that the cycle will not continue. Have a warfare approach to it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me show you a scripture. I'll share two strategies and two scriptures with you. I'm going to close first service. You know, we began to talk about our weapon on Thursday. We said the first native weapon is prayer. Right? Amen. Prayer and the word. But you see, on the platform of prayer and the word are the strategies of the spirit. And those strategies too can be seen as weapons. Are we together? That means in prayers, God speaks and he gives instructions. The carrying out of that instruction, that's where the victory is. Are you with me? The carrying out of that instruction is where the victory is. So when we speak about spiritual warfare, you must understand how God operates. So it's not just saying, okay, I'll just pray in tongues and go away. There's a dynamics to it. When you are prayed, instructions will come. Carrying out an instruction, in that instruction is the victory. And we see that all through scriptures. So there's a general application of prayer and the word in obtaining victory, in advancing your cause. And there is the application of the strategy of the Spirit given to you in prayer. And of course, that strategy of the Spirit will be consistent with the Word. God will not tell you to do something that is not consistent with His Word. Hallelujah. Are we together? 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to do a very fast read. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The king was in a very desperate situation. Very desperate. Put it up. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Thank you, Lord. Horebu kasaya. Man tekos keliga soshte prondelike posa. Alright. And it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Ammonite, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now, these three nations coming against one small nation, Judah. You know, this is not Israel. This is Judah. Judah was just two kingdoms. Southern, I think they were south. Amen. Two kingdoms. I think it was Judah and Benjamin or so. He said, then there came some and told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria. And behold, there be in Hazazon Tamar, which is Engedi. Next verse. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Are you seeing the first response? When you are attacked, when you are opposed by a great multitude, what is the first response? Look at the response. Even in the New Testament, we see that this is consistent. He says, is any afflicted, let him pray. In James chapter 5, verse 13 or so. Are we together? Look at his response. The first thing he did was not to call the army and have a strategy meeting. The first thing he did was not to check the size of his armory. The first thing he did was not to call his minister of commerce or economy to find out how much they have and where to get weapons from. No! You see, most times your response betrays the controlling influence over your soul. Where your faith is. Look at this man. Jehoshaphat feared what followed. He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. That was the beginning of his victory. Next verse. And Judah gathered themselves together and asked help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Next verse. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court fast. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? That ruleth and ruleth not thou over all the kingdoms of the earth? He's getting into praise and worship now. And into prayer, of course. Over the kingdoms of the hidden, and in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. Oh, glory to God. Are you not our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and give us it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? he's reminding God now. He said, take with you words and turn to the Lord. That's what he's doing. He said, and there that dwell in, and I build thee a sanctuary in your name, saying, hey, he's telling him, if one evil cometh upon us at the sword, judgment and pestilence and famine, we'll stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in affliction, then you will hear us. You know, their father, when he built the temple, Solomon, he prayed this prayer, Lord, let every prayer offered to you here be answered. So he's reminding God of his covenant. And that's what prayer is. Have it together. Reminding God of his covenant. All right, jump to verse 12. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great multitude that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. I can't tell you how many times I've said that. But our eyes are upon thee. But our eyes are upon thee. Our eyes are upon thee. Oh, glory to God. Next verse. And all Judah stood before the Lord. And their little ones, their wives and their children. This was a holy congregation, holy convocation. They stood there. Their king was praying. And look at what happened. And this is what I want to show you. God's response. You see, God's response is not blind. He will come and give a strategy of the Spirit. Next verse. He said, then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, or the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Oh, that means when you go to pray, pray until you don't hear the Lord. When you go to pray, especially you want to cross Jordan, you want to cross into something big, and it looks bigger than you. Because listen, to step into what you're talking about, to take cities, you will at certain seasons be faced with things that look bigger than you. I say that again. If you are really interested in taking cities, at certain seasons you'll be faced with things that look bigger than you. Not necessarily because Satan brought it to you, but because you want to cross to another side. You guys are quiet. You are not even saying anything. Is it not true what I said? Glory to God. You'll be faced. There'll be seasons of jumping and flying. There'll be seasons of parachuting. Glory to God. That means you get off the cliff, you're flying. Believing that while you are in the air, the parachute will come on. God will give you instruction. Other times it will alight in your heart. That Kai, where we are dwelling is too small. It's time to expand this place. Oh, glory to God. You wake up one day and say, I can't pay rent anymore. I want to build. And then you look around. Your wife, you say, how much do we have? You say, 10,500.
What else do we have? The covenant. Or you don't even need to be married. You ask yourself, I feel like building. What do I have? 13,500. What else do I have? The covenant. Woo! Glory! I'm not saying something that is not in the Bible. David says, Goliath, I will take off your head today and give your bodies to the birds of the air. And the Bible wrote it there. There was no sword in David's hand. That means you don't talk based on what is in your hand. You talk based on your mind, on the covenant. Do you understand? That's a life. Korebu Kasaya. If it's two blocks you have, and you have the land, go and threaten the ground. And tell the ground, the hand of Zerubbabel that began this building will complete it. Who am I talking to? Somebody is supposed to build this here. I'm not talking empty. You're supposed to build or finish that building this year. Who am I talking to? Glory to God. Go and do it. Go and do it. Amen. You know what you used to build? Your mouth. Your mouth. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Our eyes on you. And then came the Spirit of the Lord upon Haziel. And he said, hearken ye, O Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto thee. Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but mine. Oh, are you seeing that? Hiya. The battle is not yours but mine. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. And you shall find them at the end of the brook. Before the wilderness of Jericho. Prophetic description. Specific. Oh, glory to God. Next verse. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself and stand here and see the salvation of the Lord. Hold Judah and Jerusalem. Don't fear. Don't be dismayed and all that. Then he jumped to verse 20. What did Jehoshaphat do? When he was done, Jehoshaphat, you know what Jehoshaphat did? He said, believe the Lord your God. When they rose in the morning, they went to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Next verse. Let me show you something. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. You see, how did this strategy come? God has spoken. This battle is not yours, but mine. He now taught, according to precedence, how do you mobilize God without using your sword? Ah, Joshua did it. Do you hear? Did you hear that? Did you hear that? That means when you hear from God, certain things will click in your heart. But it's consistent with what God has said. The victory is in that direction. Can I get an amen? He appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went before the army and said, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 22. And when the bikarego sepanale kasaya. We're talking about warfare. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon. Why? God rises with praise. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. Guess what? That was written before this case. David had written that. Is somebody here? How can you explain it? You are going to meet three nations that are armed. And you put singers in front. You are saying, let Judah go first. Again, that was written in the laws of in the books of the judges. Let Judah go first. Let praise go first. And then except for singers, Kalabukaya. Except for singers. Now imagine if you are looking through the eyes of the flesh. Imagine if you are considering through the eyes of man. Three nations, you don't have strategy. Just like some people who think they are woke, all this church, what's our strategy for taking over this? What's our strategy for being here? They think strategy alone. Strategy is just by sitting on the table and drafting what is common to men. They are human strategies and their divine strategy. This was the divine strategy. You know the end of the story. Who won? No, look at what happened. Look at it. He said, "Ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Blessed Lord Jesus, which were come against Judah, and they were what? Smitten." Next verse. "For the children of Ammon stood up against inhabitants of Mount Seir." They became, started quarreling. Not just quarrel. These are your allies. They utterly slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. That the Bible is a book of the supernatural. How can you explain this? Is this humanly possible? No. They went into confusion. How? Somebody was singing. Somebody was singing. Rebecca, and through that praise, they mobilized heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I feel the anointing. The anointing just came upon me. They mobilized heaven. Mobilized heaven. Somebody is seeing the works of God in this season. I said, somebody is seeing the mighty works of God in this season. As you yield to these strategies of the Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 3. Very quickly. 2 Kings. Let me show you one around seed sowing. 2 Kings chapter 3. Oh, you remember the story. Let me give you a background. Then we jump. You know, the king of Israel came to Elisha. Right? And there was war. Just a moment. Sorry. Yeah, it's chapter 3. Yes. The king of Moab refused to submit to the king of Israel. So he took Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah. Just a moment. I'm just looking at where we can look at. You know, it was Jehoram. Jehoram took. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Kalabrondos Kushta. Just a moment. Thank you. Yes, here's what I'm looking for. So the king of Israel went, verse 9, and the king of Judah and the king of Edom. That's three kings again. Now the enemy here was the king of Moab. They fetched a compass, 7 days' journey and all that. And then Jehoshaphat, who was a man who was always conscious of Jehovah. He was the one that suggested that we cannot just go like that. Let's see a prophet. And then Jehoram says, which prophet? Elisha. Well, let's go and see him. When Elisha saw him, he was so angry because of Ahab. You know, that was the son of Ahab. He was so angry because of Ahab, the anointing left him. But because of Jehoshaphat, he said, if not because of you, who? I wasn't going to talk to this son of a murderer. Amen. And then he said, get me a minstrel. Get me a minstrel. And as the minstrel began to play, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Then he began to prophesy. Now you understand why there is sound sometime. Then we'll prophesy. You saw yesterday. We'll be talking like nothing will happen. And then suddenly the atmosphere will change. How many of you have noticed that? Even in meetings, in outpouring and all that. That means right now in this service, I can only be subject to time. I can turn on the atmosphere. And things will happen. I know how to do it. Amen. I know how to do it. It has become a faculty. Do you understand? It has become a faculty. It has become what? A faculty. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Like now, the Lord is talking to me about you, sir. The Lord is talking to me about you. This is a year where the Lord will help you. I'm seeing disappointments of the past. I'm seeing disappointment. People who should have helped did not help. Things that were about to click and suddenly they didn't click. Yes, I'm seeing disappointments of the past. Is that true, sir? I'm a prophet. I don't know you from anywhere. I'm seeing serial disappointment. And the Lord says, don't worry. They are not your source. I am your source. For I'll begin to move. I'll begin to move upon hearts and minds that you don't even know. I'll begin to move upon people that you don't expect to set things right and to bring you into that thing that I've marked. See the Spirit of God. So it will come from the unexpected places, says the Spirit of God. What I'm saying doesn't make sense. Thank you, Lord. I can speak on. I should continue. I've seen the doors of Europe open. Come and let's talk. Give him mic. What am I saying? I don't know him from anywhere. I don't know him from anywhere. I'm seeing the doors of Europe open. Just hold the mic for him. As I stand, I'm seeing Europe opening. I don't know what it is to have to do with Europe. I'm seeing the Lord opening the doors of Europe. I'm seeing the Lord opening the doors of Europe. I'm seeing something that has to do with sports. I don't know how it's connected. But I'm seeing the Lord opening Europe. Say something. He's crying. I'm going to do it by his mercy. By his mercy. Fear not. Fear not. Keep your eyes on him. He will move on people. He will move over institutions. And he'll make it come to pass. I'm seeing Europe opening. I'm seeing Europe open. I don't know. Maybe you should say something. What do you have to do in Europe? Why you? What? Just confirm some of the things I've said. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I've had.
He's crying. Boy, it's your time, sir. Just talk.
5-time disappointment.
Yeah.
At the embassy.
At the embassy.
Yeah.
5 times. I said, I see serial disappointment. Now, where do you want to go now so that I seal it?
Holland.
Say it again.
Holland.
Holland. Where is Holland? Lift your hands. God sent me to you. I don't know you from anywhere. God sent me to you this morning. This is your day. Don't cry, sir. This is your day. The zeal of the Lord will perform it. For from this place, the Lord has strengthened your hands. And the Lord has opened the gates of Holland to you. In the name of Jesus, as I lay my hands on you, let the gates be open. Let the gates of that nation and more nations be open. In the name of Jesus, Lika Pato Sepato, at the count of 3, Ephata, 1, 2, 3, Ephata, be open in the name of Jesus. I wipe away the disappointments of the past. I usher in a new season. Lisko Branda Kepato Skaliga Bronda Sustepai. Liga ronda suste practus kelide skepaya lika ponda suste puraba. You are a vessel of his mercy, and the Lord God Almighty will demonstrate his might in your life this year in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's done. Go and return with testimonies. Glory! Return with testimonies. Return with testimonies and don't forget God. Listen, what was I saying? How did this come? I say it's a faculty. There was something I was trying to say. If I'm out of time, rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Lift your hands toward heaven. Lift your hands toward heaven. Honteko baro sepatai. Zeriba konde sushte pura bakatosa. Mantuke brunde sushte pura dile kaska.
Monta caprona siste poradila. Zoriamanta soste proteligas. Ligaba. Right where you are, just open your mouth and start speaking in tongues. Yes, start speaking in tongues. Start speaking in tongues. Start speaking in tongues. Ligo braskap. Shaliga pronda susta. Lika ponda suste paya. Lika prokepato sila kapaya. Shepetola combratila. Sura penatala perosa. Shalipatora pata. Ripato. Can we pray a little bit this morning? Shepetola kopa. Shepati patipa. Shepeta. Pate kepa. Pale kopa. Peto peta. Pele kopa. Pele kopate. Pato pataya. Shepas.
Imarama.
Just speak in tongues. I'll do the singing.
Imarama.
Yala patosa.
Imarama. To the Lamb who sits on the throne.
Iaro.
Imarama. To the Lamb who sits on the throne, ala rosa mana. Oh, imarama. To the Lamb who sits on the throne, ala rosa mana. Oh, imarama. To the Lamb who sits on the throne, ala mana. Hey, imarama. Hey, to the Lamb who sits on the throne, ala vera. To the Lamb who sits on the throne, he arrived at the Imarama, Talabaka. To the Lamb who sits on the throne, he arrived at the Imarama. Daya keba, tela keba. To the Lamb who sits on the throne, Imarama, Imarama. To the Lamb who sits.
One more time.
Oh, Imarama, Imarama. To the Lamb who sits on the throne.
One more time.
Imarama, Imarama.
I lift your hand. I see embargoes lifted. I see embargoes lifted. I see financial embargoes lifted. I see embargoes of our families lifted. In the name of Jesus, that lead, that restriction, that limitation that Satan has placed over your family. Liko patola kopatila shepala reto patilato. I come with the rod of the priesthood of heaven. Shakiba sound, give me sound, give me sound. Shakopra dile kopa. I come with the rod of the priesthood of heaven. Lika pato sila kepa. I command the limitations removed. I command the embargoes lifted. In the name of Jesus. Every demonic embargo, every satanic embargo on your finances, on your marital destiny, lika paro te ponda lika, shepeto, rata pala, zelikapa, zelikapa te los kepaya, repeta, job embargoes, I command them lifted in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Fedora, tell Bella to get ready to get married. Jacques Brando Skipper, your elder sister, tell her to get ready to get married. Shalekapa, the embargoes are lifted. In the name of Jesus, the embargoes are lifted. The restrictions are removed.
in the name of Jesus. Some of you in your house, nobody has traveled out, nobody has handled millions. I stand in this place. Shako pratilaka reko patoletis kapa jalia to patoletis shapalita rado pata palita. By the force of the Spirit, by the power of the Holy Ghost, Jacoba, I command a change of season. I issue you into a new season. I issue the family into a new season. In the name of Jesus, the embargo is lifted. The restrictions are removed. Porabakona sister, likapando kepa. That spirit of serial disappointment, lift your hands. Shali kapa, liprona sushte pala tonda kepaya, ligros kebanila kapa, zobriana patos kelei, pinta patola. Lika, the purpose of this service this morning is to enlarge you financially. Lift your hands, you and your family. Ikapando kepa, shabura libura libura libura, likwa. Every altar of darkness, speaking against your finances. Every altar of hell, speaking against your finances. I stand in this place. I release the fires of heaven upon those altars right now. I command them to catch fire. I command them to catch fire in the name of Jesus. Every shame, every reproach, everything that has caused your family shame, I'm praying for families, lift your hands. Everything that has caused your family shame, reproach, setbacks, liskamanto lebatoska, jalika, is it a loved one who is wayward? Is it a financial situation? Whatever it is, lika paratoska, shapa, I come in my capacity as an apostle sent for the nations, lika. For that shame, you shall have double glory in the name of Jesus. Let there be glory. Let there be glory. I roll away the reproach. Yes, it is Gilgal. I roll away the reproach. It is Gilgal. I roll away the reproach. Your family enters Gilgal. I roll away the reproach. I roll away the reproach. I roll away the shame. I roll away the reproach. In the name of Jesus. Oh, it doesn't matter where they are. It doesn't matter what it is. The realm of the spirit is not a servant of time, space, and matter. Shapila. Lucas Capranoska, Liba, and in this season, the angels of the Lord are released. The angels of the Lord are released on your behalf. The angels of mighty supply, the angels that defend and protect, the angels of the Lord are released on your behalf. They are released into your family in the name of Jesus to contend and to defend. Ilasema penata zureba peras sekoba ritas kapana. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. I announce a new season of growth for you. I announce a new season of enlargement in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lika pataponda. Let the pleasure of the Lord prosper in your hands. Let the pleasure of the Lord prosper in your hands. Let the pleasure of the Lord prosper in your hands. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we love you. We give you glory and we give you honor. Mark my words. If you believe this prophet, he says, believe the Lord your God, so shall you be established, right? Believe his prophet, so shall you prosper. Believe me. This is going to be your greatest year so far as finances is concerned. Yes. This is going to be your greatest year so far as far as finances is concerned. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Number two, this is going to be your greatest year so far as the revelation of Christ is concerned. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the end of this year, people will not recognize you. You have grown so fat. You say, let Jeshurun wax fat and thick. He will grow. You know, fatness talks about prosperity prophetically. You will grow so fat in the realm of the spirit. You will grow so fat in prosperity. You will grow so fat in your spiritual capacity. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you glory. We give you honor. How we love you.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.